a Missouri man killed his wife and in-laws because they wouldn't leave his home. Okay, I'm scratching my head a little bit. Have you ever had somebody at your house that you're like, you need to go now? Especially, you know, we're just here a little bit after the holidays. You got family members who come for 3-4 weeks, you know, to celebrate the holidays, and they're here for like an entire month, and you're like, I need you to go. You need to leave. I'm not saying you should kill them, but I can understand maybe snapping and just being like, I need to go somewhere. I've actually done that. I've like left my home and gone and sat at Starbucks for like 3 hours. I just needed to get out. I can't take it anymore. I gotta go. But you know, you have that realization that, okay, I'm not handling this very well and I need to do something about it. So I'm going to take off now. I'm going to go and go hang out at a coffee shop for a little bit and just get my wits about me because I'm feeling a little bit stressed and I need to do something. So here's the story. A Missouri man will spend the rest of his life in prison after authorities say he killed his wife and her parents after the in-laws refused to leave his home. Jesse Huey had previously pleaded guilty to killing his wife, Tanya, and her parents, Ronald and Linda, back in March of 21. He was convicted on 3 counts of first-degree murder. On Friday, a judge handed down the strictest sentence possible. He will serve 3 consecutive life terms in prison without the possibility of parole. According to online court documents, Huey had told police investigators that his wife's parents had come to help her recover from back surgery. As the visit dragged on, he began to grow tired and impatient with having them in the house. He said, I felt intruded on. I felt disrespected. I went outside, got my gun, and shot all 3 victims in under a minute. All 3 victims were shot in the head as they sat at the kitchen table. As he shot the family members, he called 911 and reported the murders. The 911 dispatcher asked why he did it. According to court testimony, he responded by saying, well, they wouldn't leave. I've been waiting for a week for them to leave. I've had enough. He told the dispatcher that he wouldn't resist the deputies when they came to arrest him. Damn, that's taking it to a whole other level.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.